Joining us on Perspectives today is Nadia Hashimi. Nadia is an Afghan-American pediatrician living in suburban Washington, D.C. She is the author of the international bestseller, The Pearl That Broke Its Shell, and her latest book is When the Moon is Low. Nadia, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, as I mentioned, that you are a pediatrician in Washington, D.C., and your first book, international bestseller, The Pearl That Broke Its Shell. Tell us a little bit about that book, because in both books, that one and this one, you talk and write about some of the plights that women have to deal with in the Middle East or in Afghanistan and in Kabul. Can you tell us about The Pearl That Broke Its Shell?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Pearl novel was my first novel, and it was one that really talked about the gender differences between men and women, in particular in Afghanistan. I did it from two different perspectives. So part of the story is a contemporary story in which a young girl undergoes this Afghan custom where some young girls will be transformed into boys. It's a very physical transformation, but they're sort of reintroduced into society as a male version of themselves. And so they go around masquerading as little boys. And this is done for a variety of reasons, but it really boils down to the valuing of sons over daughters. And this young child, at the age of 13, is then changed back into a girl and then married off to a warlord. And so the rest of the story is her journey, trying to struggle with the circumstances around her and trying to find a way to assert a little bit of individuality and independence and then sort of take hold of and control of her own life. And it's coupled with her drawing strength from the story of her great-great-grandmother, who grew up in Afghanistan 100 years prior, and she happened to, through the course of her narrative, become a guard for the king's harem, and she was dressed as a man in order to do that. And so the parallels of those two stories really talk about the differences in gender in Afghanistan.
We are visiting with Nadia Hashimi. Nadia is the New York Times bestselling author of the book When the Moon is Low. Well, first of all, let me back up a little bit, because I think there are always stereotypes and different perspectives that people have or believe from what they read or talk, not knowing really what life is all about. And of course, in the stereotype that I'm talking about here, for many years, people in Afghanistan or in Iran or in Iraq thought that women there are, you know, treated a certain way. But as we read novels like yours and also in The Kite Runner, we are introduced to a young lady and we learn a little bit about what a woman goes through. And you just mentioned reversing roles there in your first novel. So tell us about you and your family, because you have that background and you know as a writer what you're telling us is true and really what is going on. So to remove some of these stereotypes.
Well, I think some of the surprises that I've encountered from readers, a lot of readers are surprised to hear that there was a time period in Afghanistan's history where women had a lot more freedom, had more liberties and more rights, and that this wasn't just a single story that they're seeing. You know, what we do see in the news, what we have been seeing, the iconic Afghan woman really is a blue burqa-clad character who just sort of is in the background, who is abused and oppressed. And that is not the entire story for Afghan women. So there are different times of history. There have been pendulum swings in terms of the status of women and the rights of women. My mother's generation, for example, my mother went to Kabul University and obtained a degree in engineering. Her sisters also went to the university and went into various fields and were working outside of the home independently, whether or not they were married. And that's a different story than people really hear and people really expect. They were dressed in clothing very similar to what I wear here in the United States. And all of that really changed during the times of war. So there were 30 years of war in Afghanistan. And in that time period, especially with the control of the Taliban, women lost a lot of those rights. And so that's the period that people know about and are not surprised with. That became so, you know, the Taliban regime was infamous for what they did to women. The pendulum is swinging in the other direction again now, And so that may surprise people, too, that there are female pilots in Afghanistan, that there are female politicians in Afghanistan, that a female ran for vice president in the last election in Afghanistan. So there, the narrative of Afghan women is a very varied one, and it's an evolving one.
We're visiting with Nadia Hashimi. Nadia is a New York Times bestselling author, and the recent novel is When the Moon is Low. In this novel, when it opens up, we read about this young lady and little girl, basically, and she's remembering and recalling the fact that when she was born, her mother died giving birth to her. And so she feels the pressure of, dad doesn't like me. You know, I killed my mom. My dad thinks that because of me, my mother died. So why don't you take us a little bit through that, Nadia?
Sure. You know, it's interesting is I've had a few people reflect on that individual's her birth story and how she lost her mother and sort of call it a Cinderella-ish story. And it's funny for me because I never pictured it being compared to Cinderella. It's easy for me to see the comparisons now looking back on it, but she's somebody who I created based on a couple of people in my own family who lost their mothers very, very early on and grew up under the eye of a stepmother and a very different kind of family dynamic where they were definitely not on par with the other children in the family. And so the Cinderella story of that character is a very real one. That's something I think that just exists when people lose their biological mother at a very early age. Not all the time, but sometimes. And she's a character that really displays a lot of resilience and strength, and a lot of that might probably comes from her upbringing.
You talked a little bit about earlier about the roles of men and women in Afghanistan, and in your novel, When the Moon is Low, we get the impression that perhaps this young lady is talking about her brother and the fact that her brother's okay because males born in Afghanistan are treated as, this is great because I have a son. And a lot of men all over the world, you know, when they have a son, they go, great, I have a son. But in this novel, this young lady thinks that, well, not only do I have a stepmom, my mother died, but at the same time, my brother lost his mother, and my father thinks that I took his wife. And so tell us about the role of the male in this family or in Afghanistan during this novel.
Yeah, I think what I wanted to introduce is the dynamics between family members when they're comparing sons and daughters. And, you know, boys may have an easier time navigating their way through a family that's sort of patched together after the loss of a mom, just by nature of families valuing sons in a very different way. And also there's a dynamic in there about, you know, the mother-daughter experience, that relationship. When that's lost or when you don't have a mom to really look out for a child wholeheartedly the way the stepmother may look out for her own children, that really changes the experience of that child. And then it's up to that child to either overcome that obstacle and have the insight to see beyond it when she's building her own family, or to be scarred by it forever. And I think, you know, different people react differently to that kind of situation.
As I mentioned, you are a pediatrician in Washington, D.C. area. As a pediatrician, you see a lot of mothers and their children. And when you were writing this novel, When the Moon is Low, did any of this reflect on your novel or any ideas? I'm not saying that this is what happens in the United States or the fact that it's still going on in some places of the world, but because you're exposed as a doctor to many mother-children relationships, did that play a role at all in your writing and getting a message out?
Sure. I mean, I have, you know, being a pediatrician or being any kind of physician really puts you in a very privileged position. You are with a family during some of their most intimate moments, and especially in children who are undergoing hospitalized care, they are children who are very ill. And so you're around at a time, a very sensitive point in a family's life, and you're around for very sensitive decisions, and you really get a very close and personal view of what the dynamics of the family are. And especially when families are putting their trust in you to take care of their most precious, you know, loved ones. So watching family dynamics and understanding, you know, how moms treat their children, what it means to be a mother, the struggle that mother goes through, watching mothers stay up all night in hospitals, taking care of their children, you know, being sleepless and just kind of surviving on vending machine coffee, you know, that really, you learn so much about the strength of women by observing what these families are going through, just in any kind of illness. So it's, and that is a universality. That's not something that's unique to, you know, the Western culture, the American culture. That's something that we see in all cultures. And I think that's the common thread around the world, is that dynamic of mothers and children. And so it was very easy for me to use what I have observed and weave that into the story and into these characters.
We're visiting with award-winning New York Times bestselling author Nadia Hashimi. Nadia is the author of the novel When the Moon is Low. At the beginning of the interview, Nadia, you mentioned the Taliban. And a lot of people are familiar with the Taliban, but basically because of what they have seen on television, what they've read in the newspapers. And they associate Osama bin Laden and some of the other things that went on in Afghanistan to the Taliban just from those exposures. In your book, you tell us a little bit about the Taliban and the rise of the Taliban in Afghanistan. If you can kind of tell us a little bit more to perhaps, you know, the reader and the listener can understand that whether or not what they've been exposed to in television or in news is accurate about the Taliban, or being there firsthand, what is really happening.
You know, I think that's one of the areas where the media have really portrayed the story of what was going on. And the Taliban were so, they were almost caricatures of themselves. They were so oppressive, and they really exerted their dominance in a way that was just brutal. And people lived under fear when they were under their control. So you did really have these edicts that they had had set out for the areas that they took control over, where women were supposed to be covered from head to toe, women were not supposed to be seen, their voices should not be heard, you know, houses had to be shuttered so that people could not see into a home lest they see a woman working, you know, within the home. Women were not allowed to work outside of the home. They could not walk through the streets unless they had a male escort with them who had to be a very direct family member. And so all of that just seems unreal, and it seems just almost cartoonish in how drastic and oppressive it is, but that is the reality of that time period. I think what people don't see is the reaction and how people survived, how the Afghan people survived that time period. So, you know, when I speak to people who lived in Afghanistan under the Taliban regime, there was a lot of lightheartedness as well. So I know one woman had told me stories about weddings in Afghanistan during the time of the Taliban. Music was not allowed. And yet Afghans really focus on weddings. We have to have music. You've got to have a good time. And so little forms of rebellion, for example, where they would have a wedding party on one particular block in a home, and they would station young boys, for example, on far ends of the neighborhood. And the little boys were patrolling. They were a little like lookouts for the Taliban patrols, actually. And so if they saw a Taliban patrol nearing by, they would run into the home and warn everybody, and the music would shut off, and all would go quiet until the patrol would leave the area, and the boy who was stationed on the opposite end of the neighborhood would come back and say, okay, they're gone now, you can start up again. And so there were these forms of, you know, like quiet rebellion where people really wanted to go on living their lives the way they always had. And so that's the part that people don't always hear about.
We're visiting with Nadia Hashimi. Nadia is the New York Times bestselling author, award-winning author, and the latest novel she's written is When the Moon is Low. And in the book, Nadia talks a little bit about, we meet, is it Fariba?
Fariba, yes.
Fariba, and she is a young girl who's actually, you know, she's alone because she's the only daughter of a mother that she never knew. Her mother dies at birth, and later on, other tragedy strikes, and I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about that, because I think it'd come better from your mouth, since you're the one who wrote the story, and you did a very good job of guiding us through this in your narrative. The furious, the rise of the Taliban, and as you just mentioned, the fact that these patrols were on, it's hard to imagine somebody saying, wow, that's really incredible. It's, you know, it's like you have spies in your neighborhood, but I guess that's what it is. And then the education, a lot of us have been taught to believe, and if you could clear this up for us as far as education, that the Taliban really did not want women to be educated and little girls to go to school. And you just told us about your mother attending a university in Kabul. And here you are, well, you live in the United States, but you're a doctor and working in Washington, D.C. So with that said, and I'm sorry I threw a lot out there, but if you can kind of just pick it up from there and just tell us about Fariba. We just met her, and I just about the fact that her mother has died at birth and she encounters a rough journey.
Yes, absolutely. And so Fariba, really, she's a character that will hopefully bring to life for people all of those differences within Afghan history for women that you just mentioned. And so she loses her mother very early on, and so she has a very interesting family dynamic with her stepmother, and goes through a bunch of challenges during the early part of her life. But she's able to find her way into and falls into this marriage, which actually is a blessing for her. And she meets a husband who is an incredible partner to her, a supporter of her. And she is a teacher who's engaged with other students and bringing education into their world, in the context of a middle-class life living in a peaceful Afghanistan. She loses all of that during the Taliban time period when she loses her husband because of the Taliban. And after that, she's then forced to live under the edicts of the Taliban, which is very oppressive, as we have just talked about. And she's in very dire straits. She doesn't have a lot of support around her. She cannot go outside of the home without a male escort. She has no means by which to feed her family, and she's forced to make a really tough decision and decide that if she's going to have her three children survive, their only hope is really for fleeing the country and trying to find a better place to resettle and restart. And so they set their eyes on Europe, since they have family there, and the rest of the book is really her trying to get her family and her young ones from point A to point B and re-begin.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Nadia Hashimi. Nadia is the author of the book When the Moon is Low, and Nadia set up for us a story and what's going on. And as you mentioned, this freedom, this trek that she takes her children to escape, people, again, because of the portrayal that we see on television or what we read in the newspapers, a lot of people think, okay, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Israel, that's all Middle East, and it's all desert, and not realizing that there's beautiful countryside out there in Iran, in the mountains, and in Afghanistan as well, beautiful cities, and the fact that she has to take this trek if she's going to go to Europe, and it's quite a long trek.
It really is, and I think, part of what I wanted to portray was some of the landscapes of these countries, and it being, as you said, maybe a surprise for some people, and that we sort of maybe want to picture just, you know, deserts and very desolate regions. But even within Afghanistan, there are capitals where there are tall buildings and there are beautiful lakes and there are majestic mountains. And so the actual terrain of Afghanistan, the nature of Afghanistan, is quite striking. And that's probably a reason why in the late 60s to the early 70s there were a lot of visitors into Afghanistan. They were backpackers who traveled through the countryside to appreciate that natural beauty of it and to appreciate the markets and the bazaars and different places where people would come together and trade and exchange things. Similarly, in other countries as well, people may not, if you don't go there and if you don't travel there, then all you are fed is really what is available on the news. And the only time we really look at these countries is when they are war-torn. And so what we're seeing are really not their best angles. So, you know, when you look at their journeys, the people that are crossing from one country to another, you have an opportunity to see what kinds of areas they're passing through, and that might be surprising.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Nadia Hashimi. Nadia is the best-selling author of the book, The Pearl That Broke Its Shell. Her latest novel is When the Moon is Low. And, you know, here in the United States, one of the issues that politicians and our government has been dealing with is undocumented immigrants and illegal immigration. And a lot of people think, well, that only exists here in the United States and on the border. But you introduce us to a network of undocumented people across the trek that this lady takes.
Absolutely. I mean, we have our own battles, as you said, in the United States, where we struggle with what to do with the influx of people and the masses that are trying to establish new lives here in the United States. At the same time, Europe, by nature of its proximity to some of the bigger conflicts in the Middle East, they're the target, they're the destination that people really have their eye on from that area. And a place like Greece, for example. So, and a lot of what's happening there is this interplay between people who are just en masse leaving their homelands because of horrible situations and just desperately trying to find a place where they can resettle. And at the same time, you have nations in Europe that are overwhelmed and under-resourced, and Greece, for example, being one as a big landing point because of its proximity to that area. It's one of the first regions to be reached by water, for example. And Greece, as we also know by watching and listening to the news, is a country that's been talking about austerity measures for quite some time now, has now been talking about bankruptcy and withdrawal from the European Union, and is not in any kind of situation where it could handle or support masses of people coming through. And the, you know, the talk about tourist areas that are now, you see so many refugees floating, you know, coming and winding up on those shores. And so that's really changed the face of Greece and other nations in Europe as well, and similarly. And so there's a big dilemma, because these nations may not have all the resources to deal with the influx of people coming in. At the same time, you have people who are putting their lives on the line because things are so bad at home. And so what do we do in this situation? And that's a really tough question to answer.
We're visiting with Nadia Hashimi, and she is the New York Times bestselling author of the latest novel, When the Moon is Low. This is a novel that starts out, and we introduce and we meet Feribia. She is a young lady who eventually becomes a school teacher, but when we open up the novel and we start reading the narrative that Nadia gives us, it's the little girl has lost her mother because her mother died giving birth to her, and so she has to face the situation of being with a stepmom and a father who has lost his wife and a brother who has lost his mom. And it is interesting that you mentioned earlier that somebody compared that to Cinderella because, I guess, the stepmom. But I'm wondering, what about the father and the brother, but particularly the father? Tell us about the relationship between a father and a daughter in Afghanistan.
You know, that's not a relationship that can be painted with one brush, I suppose, because it's different for every family. I can look at my own relationship with my father, of the relationship that my cousins in Afghanistan have with their fathers, and then, you know, comparing that with the relationships of some people in Afghanistan that hit the news because of the horrific treatment that they receive from their fathers. So it's different, really, in every situation. For my particular character, she happens to have a father who's just poorly equipped to deal with having lost a wife that he truly loved so early on, and then he's even worse equipped to deal with raising two children, one of them being a newborn baby girl. And so he does what most men would do in his situation, which is to quickly remarry and find somebody who will help him raise these children and nurture them. And when he does that, he sort of relinquishes control within the household to the new wife who has come in, and she really sets the dynamic and sets the tone. She's the matriarch of the family. And he is not that attentive to, you know, exactly what their dynamic, the exchange between the daughter, the stepdaughter and the stepmother is. And so, you know, he's not representative of every Afghan father by any means. He is just who he is. He unfortunately does not pay the most attention to what his daughter's life is turning out to be and what her day-to-day is like. So that is inspired by, you know, some true stories that have floated around in our families. But it is, again, just that is one family dynamic.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Nadia Hashimi. She is the author of her latest novel, When the Moon is Low. And as you mentioned at the beginning, that you want to raise awareness about the plight of women, about the plight of immigrants, about the plight of refugees. And just a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, was World Refugee Day. And this is something that I guess in your novel, it brings to light the fact that people can do research. And on your Facebook page, you have a lot of different videos and a lot of information about the plight of refugees, but particularly women across the world, not just in Afghanistan.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when we look at what's happening in the world, there's an unprecedented wave and an unprecedented crisis of refugees and displaced persons. The UN is now telling us that there are 60 million displaced people worldwide. And that's a huge number. So 60 million is just an incredible number, and it's very hard to wrap our heads around that many people and understand that there are that many individual lives that have been moved from one place to another and are trying to redefine home. And, you know, for me to imagine my own self, you know, being in a situation where I have to pick up and leave and where am I going to go and where am I going to take my children is very hard to imagine. So I think that's the magic of what books and stories can do, is to communicate really big and weighty concepts in a very digestible way.
Someone, I can't remember who the reviewer was, but said that, as you just mentioned, that, you know, books take us into faraway lands, takes us on journeys. All of a sudden, we're in a different place, different country. And your book does exactly that, and it takes us on that's hard to describe, an incredible journey, I guess. And you meet these different people, but also, I think, at least for me, it pushes me to want to find out more about refugees, about women, and some of these videos I mentioned that you have on your Facebook. In fact, one of them is an NPR that was put on there by you, and it shows us just exactly how we can help and what is going on around the world that we just don't, it's not just in a book, it's just not a fairy tale, it's not just a myth, but it's very real.
I appreciate that. I think my goal with both of my books that I have out right now is really to start conversations, is really to help people engage in a dialogue that may cover, you know, what their neighbors have experienced, because the world is so interconnected at this point. So the happenings in Afghanistan do affect us. And, you know, if we're looking for ways to figure out how does it affect an American who's, you know, in Chicago, for example, or in Texas, or anywhere in the United States, well, you know, when things are going bad in one corner of the world, a lot of times the United States is drawn into it, either militarily or through economic support. So when we are sending our troops into Afghanistan, well, you know, what is the reason for that? How did things get this way? And what is the hope for the situation improving? And, you know, so for that reason, I think it is important for us to be aware of what's going on in the world around us. We are very interconnected, and I do share a lot of videos or news articles that I find relevant because I think it's helpful to just see stories that might surprise us or that might inform us and just help us be a bit more empathetic to others and build those human bonds.
Well, Nadia, we want to thank you very much for being with us here today. And I did mention Facebook a little while ago. So if you wouldn't mind guiding us through perhaps a webpage that you'd like to direct our listeners to so they can find out more about your books and also what you've been talking about.
Absolutely. My website is NadiaHashimi.com, and on there I have, you know, links to my Facebook and Twitter and other articles and things that I can find relevant that might interest readers who have been intrigued by these topics of these two books, as well as information about books that I'm working on for the future.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Nadia Hashimi. Nadia is the New York Times bestselling author of the novel When the Moon is Low. Thank you very much for being with us, Nadia.
Thanks. It was a great conversation. Appreciate it.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Eddie Rosales. We had help also from Lauren Terrazas and Evan Walsh. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.
Hey, I've got